Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are still dealing with the threshing floor. And in this part of the series on the threshing floor 2, I'm going to go straight into some of the scriptures that God has led me to share, which I will also leave in the description. These are Jeremiah 45. Specifically verses 6, but it's a short verse. It's a short chapter, so you could read the whole of it. Nehemiah. Yeah, there was Nehemiah, actually. Sorry, guys. Let me just add Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2, verse 14, I believe. Just confirm that. 13. Verse 13. I'll just note this down so that I can add it. Nehemiah 2, verse 13. Nehemiah 2, 13. All right. So then, Nahum 2:13. So those are 2 2-13s. And then Habakkuk 3:4-19, Jeremiah 2:13 all the way down. So there's a lot of 2:13s, and Habakkuk chapter 2, the whole chapter. Okay, so I'm gonna do lots of reading. So this is Jeremiah 45, okay? Jeremiah 45, specifically the last verse, which is verse 5, I beg your pardon, not 6, but 5. And it talks about, this is what it says. It's a message to Baruch, and Baruch was the son of Neriah. And that was the guy who wrote what Jeremiah spoke. Okay, so he was the scribe for Jeremiah. And in verse 5 it says, this is in reference to Baruch. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring disaster on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as your only reward and as a prize of war wherever you go. Just to give a bit of context, this was at this particular time, in Jeremiah's time, the Judah, or the Israelites, but I believe this is Judah, were about to go into exile. And so they were about to go under siege, and we'll come back and see that in chapter 2, verse 13, which is one of the references. But I'll read from verse 1, just to give it a bit of context. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spoke to Baruch the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the dictation of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, O Baruch. You said, woe is me, for the Lord has added sorrow to my pain. I am weary with my groaning and sighing, and I find no rest. Say this to him, the Lord speaks in this way. Okay, behold, what I have built, I will break down, and that which I have planted, I will uproot, that is, the whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do not seek them, for behold, I will bring disaster on all flesh, says the Lord. But I will give your life to you as your only reward, as a prize of war, wherever you go. All right, I'm going to move on to chapter 2, 13 of the same book, which is Jeremiah. For my people have committed two evils. Okay, let me just confirm the reference before I go any further. All right, I'll first go to... let's just do Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have abandoned, rejected me. This is the Amplified Version. They have abandoned, rejected me, the fountain of living water, and they have carved out their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a slave by birth? Why has he become a captive and a prey? The young lions have roared at him. They have made their voices heard and roared loudly, and they have made his land a waste. His cities have been destroyed and are burnt ruins without inhabitant. Moreover, the men of Memphis and Tafinas, as powerful enemies, have shaved the crown of your head to degrade you. Have you not brought this on yourself by abandoning, rejecting the Lord your God? When he led you in the way, now what are you doing by going to Egypt in search of an ally to drink the muddy waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing by going to Assyria in search of an ally to drink the muddy waters of Euphrates? Your own wickedness will discipline you. Your desertion of faith will punish you. Know therefore that it is an evil and bitter thing for you to abandon, reject the Lord your God, and for you to be indifferent to me and dismiss the reverent fear of me, says the Lord your God, the Lord God of hosts. For long ago you broke your yoke in deliberate disobedience and tore off your bonds of the law that I give you. You said, I will not serve and obey you. For on every high hill and under every green tree, you have laid down an idolatrous worship like a compliant prostitute. Yet I had planted you, O house of Israel, as a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. Now then have you turned against me into degenerate shoots of a foreign wild vine alien to me? For though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your guilt is still before me, and you are soiled and dirty, says the Lord God. How can you say, I am not defiled, I have not gone after man-made gods like Baals? Look at your way in the valley. Know without any doubt what you have done. You are a swift and restless young female, camel in the heat of her passion, running here and there. Or you have the untamed and reckless nature of a wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness, that sniffs the air, the wind in her passion for the scent of a mate. In her mating season, who can restrain her? No males seeking her need to weary themselves. In her month, they will find her looking for them. Seize your mad running after idols to keep your feet from becoming bare and your throat from becoming dry. But you said, it is hopeless, for I have loved strangers and foreign gods, and I will walk after them. As a thief is shamed when he is caught, so the house of Israel is shamed. They, their kings, their leaders, their priests, their prophets, who say to a tree, you are my father, and to a stone, you give me birth. For they have turned their backs to me, and not their faces. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise, O Lord, and save us. But where are your gods, which you made for yourself? Let them get up, if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For as many as the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why do not your many man-made idols run to help you? Why do you complain and contend with me? You have all rebelled, transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I have punished your people with consequences of their disobedience. They received no insight from correction and refused to change. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation that you are, consider and regard carefully the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, like a land without food, a land of thick and deep darkness, with a path, like a path without light? Why do my people say, we have broken loose, and we are free to roam at will? We will no longer come to you, meaning God. Can a virgin forget to wear her ornaments, or a bride her attire that identifies her as a married woman? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. How well you prepare your path to seek and obtain adulterous love. Even the most wicked of women have learnt indecent ways from you. Also, on your skirts is found the lifeblood of the innocent poor. You did not find them breaking in a house. But in spite of all these things, your disobedience, your love of idolatry, your lack of compassion, yet you keep saying, I am innocent. Surely his anger has turned away from me. Behold, listen very carefully. I will bring you to judgment and will plead my case against you because you say, I have not sinned. Why do you go around and wander so much, changing your way? Also, you will be shamed by Egypt, and you were shamed as you were shamed by Assyria. From Egypt also you will come away as captives, with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those to whom you trust, confide, and you will not be successful with them. So I'm going to move on to chapter 4. Alright, I lost track of some of the verses. So I'm going to move to Nehemiah 2:13. And this is what it says. So Nehemiah 2:13. This is after the siege. And Nehemiah comes back to build the wall. So I went out at night by the valley gate toward the dragon's well and to the refuse gate and inspected the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which were consumed by fire. Then I passed over to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the animal that I was riding to pass. So I went up at night by the ravine of Kidron and inspected the wall. Then I turned back and entered the city by the valley gate and returned. That's up to verse 15. Then I'm going to move to Nahum. Remember, God said that he would destroy what he planted in Jeremiah 45. So Nahum 2:13. Says, sorry, just give me 1 minute, and okay, got it. Nahum 2:13. Behold, I'm against you, Nineveh, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in the smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land, and the voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. Then Habakkuk 3:4-19. Habakkuk chapter 3:4-19. Says his brightness is like the sunshine, the sunlight. His brightness is like the sunlight. He has bright rays flashing from his hand. And there in the sun-like splendor is the hiding place of his power. Before him goes the pestilence of judgment as in Egypt, and the burning plague of condemnation follows at his feet as in Sennacherib's army. He stood and measured the earth. He stood and startled the nations. Yes, the eternal mountains were shattered. The ancient hills bowed low and collapsed. His ways are eternal. I, Habakkuk, in my vision, saw the tents of Cushan under distress. The tent curtains of the land of Midian were trembling. Did the Lord rage against the rivers? Or was your anger against the rivers? Or was your wrath against the Red Sea, that you rode on your horses, on your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made bare, the rods of chastisement were sworn. Selah. You split the earth with rivers, bringing waters to dry places. The mountains saw you, and they trembled and writhed as if in pain. The downpour of water swept by as a deluge. The deep uttered its voice and raged. It lifted its hands high. The sun and moon stood in their places as before Judah, as before Joshua. They went away at the light of your swift arrows, at the radiance and gleam of your glittering spear. In indignation you marched through the earth. In anger you trampled and threshed the nations. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation and rescue of your anointed people, Israel. You struck the head from the house of the wicked to lay him open from the thigh to the neck. Selah, pause to think, think of that calmly. With the enemy's own spears you pierced the head of his hordes. They stormed out to scatter us, rejoicing like those who secretly devour the oppressed of Israel. You have trampled on the sea with your horses, on the surge of many waters. I heard, and my whole inner self trembled. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay and rottenness entered my bones, and I tremble in my place, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress, for the people to arise who will invade and attack us. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength and my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like the heads' feet, and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility, for the choir director on my stringed instruments. Then Habakkuk 2 says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer I will give as his spokesman when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets, so that the one who reads it will run, for the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries towards the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. Look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. Moreover, wine is treacherous and betrays the arrogant man, so that he does not stay at home. His appetite is large like Sheol, and he is like death, never satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and collects to himself all peoples as if he owned them. Will all these victims of his greed not take up a taunting song against him, and in mocking derision against him say, woe, judgment is coming to him who increases that which is not his? How long will he possess it? And woe to him who makes himself wealthy with loans. Will your creditors not rise up suddenly, and those who collect from you awaken? Then you will become plunder for them, because you, King of Babylon, have looted many nations. All people who are left will loot you because of human bloodshed and for the violence done to the land and to the city and all its inhabitants. Woe, judgment is coming to him who obtains wicked gain for his house and thinks by so doing to set his nest on high, that he may be rescued from the hand of evil. You have devised a shameful thing for your house by cutting off and putting an end to many peoples, so you are sinning against your own life and forfeiting it. For the stone will cry out from the wall to accuse you, built in sin, and the rafter will answer it out of the woodwork. Woe, judgment is coming to him who builds a city with bloodshed and establishes a town by violence. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that peoples labor only for the fire that will destroy their work, and nations grow weary for nothing, that is, things which have no lasting value. But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe, judgment is coming to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom to make them drunk, so that you may look at their nakedness. For you will be filled with disgrace instead of honor. Now drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup of wrath in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, O destroyer, and utter disgrace will be on your own glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you. The destruction of the animals will terrify you on account of human bloodshed and violence done to the land, to the city, and all its inhabitants. What profit is a carved image when its maker has formed it? Is it only a cast image and teacher of lies? It is only a cast image and a teacher of lies, for its maker trusts in his own creation as his God, when he makes speechless idols. Woe, judgment is coming to him who says to the wooden image, awake, and to the speechless stone, arise. And that is your teacher? Look, it is overlaid with gold and silver. There is no breath at all inside it, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth hush and be silent before him. And then I think finally, I think I covered everything. Oh, hey, that was shorter than I thought. So there is judgment around the corner. As you have seen, there are many things that God has spoken about, but it's a time and a season where the same people who God is upset with will have redemption, and he will punish those who he used to punish them. In this case, the Israelites, they were taken out to exile, and God actually destroyed what he had planted. Okay, so we've read from the book of Jeremiah 45. Baruch was told not to seek great things for himself. And that applies to some people listening, that with life they will escape. And in Nehemiah, we found that Nehemiah actually did have to restore. He was used by God to restore that which had been destroyed in the siege and the war that came before the siege. I mean, after the siege and the destruction that occurred thereof. And then we found in Nahum 2:13 that Nineveh had been judged, including its animals, its prey. And Habakkuk 3 talks about what was coming before it happened. And the man Habakkuk, the prophet, you know, had to wait for that time, knowing that it would happen. But he says, even though the fig tree bears nothing, he would still praise God, who gives him strength, gives him hints. In other words, God keeps you under the fire. He will keep some under the fire, those who trust in him, as he destroys those who have rebelled against him. He will keep others. And they ought to praise him and remain positive, like Habakkuk says, that even though the vine has nothing, has no fruit. It says in verse 17 of Habakkuk 3 that though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, the field produces no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there is no cattle in the stall, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exaltation in the victorious God of my salvation. And then there's a silencing of the prophets and the messengers, as we read in Jeremiah chapter 2 and Habakkuk 2 talks about, as well as Jeremiah talk about why there was a punishment for for the wicked and how the wicked suffered together with the righteous. However, with the righteous, there was hope because it really was a question of them living by faith. As it says in Jeremiah chapter 2, that the righteous shall live by faith in God. So it is not that they were not facing the same problems like Baruch. Baruch was complaining to God and he was saying, you know, Lord, it looks like I've gotten more pain and more trouble being faithful to God. And sometimes it feels that way. It's like, I have been faithful to God and now this, you know, and now this. So why am I struggling? Why am I in trouble just as the wicked? But you see, those who had been wicked, them being destroyed, being sent to exile, they didn't have the kind of hope, faith, that the righteous did. You know, so we see that in Habakkuk when he says that God is on who makes his feet like hinds feet. In other words, he's on who enables him to be even spiritually and physically okay in the dangers, in the trials that he's facing. So he says, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. So I guess for some of us, the advice would be repentance, because the messenger won't always be available. I think it was in Nahum where God said he has that against Nineveh. Yeah. I will burn your chariot to smoke, and the sword will devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the land. The voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. The voice of your messengers will no longer be heard. Your emissaries, the people that you send over. So while there is mercy, while there is still grace, there's an olive branch. Some people just need to take the opportunity and repent from idolatry, you know, from making things more important than God. Just turning away from the stuff that God has talked about in both Jeremiah chapter 2 and as well as in Habakkuk chapter 2. And then of course there is the other side of the coin for those who are diligently seeking after God, to know that even in the midst of the trial he will give you enablement. Just like Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 13:17-19, and not to seek so much of the things of the earth, like the grandiose things, like God told Baruch, are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. NLT says, don't do it. I will bring great disaster upon all these people, but I will give you your life as a reward wherever you go. So maybe that's the reward, like just your life is a precious gift on its own, all by its own. So that's what it is about. And that is the threshing floor. We talked about the threshing floor in the last two parts of the series. And in Habakkuk 3, right there, in Habakkuk 3, it actually talks about God doing the threshing in verse 12. where it says, Habakkuk writes and says, "You marched across the land in anger and trampled the nations with your fury." That's NLT. The Amplified Version says that God, in indignation, to save his people, to save his righteous, to save the remnant, marched through the earth in anger, and you trampled and threshed the nations. And this also refers to the end times or judgment times, where God will indeed show up, and the light, as it's referred to from verse 3, God approaching from Sinai comes from Timon, Edom, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Sila. Pause and calmly think of that. His splendor and majesty covers the heavens, and the earth is full of his praise. His brightness, which is where it began, is like the sunlight. Nothing competes with God. He has bright rays flashing from his hand, and there, in the sun-like splendor, is the hiding place of his power. Before him goes the pestilence of judgment, as in Egypt, and the burning plague of condemnation. So, you ponder upon this. Like I said, there are different angles to it. There's Jeremiah people, Habakkuk, faithful people, and either way, it's gonna be difficult. That's just the warning that times may be pretty tough, but either way, God grants enablement and keeps you under fire, but you will not burn. Okay. Alrighty, I think that's it for now. See you next time. If there's anything else that God reminds me, I will be sure to share. Take care, bye-bye. God bless you. So I have found an extra verse, or rather the verses that I read from Jeremiah chapter 2 was actually Jeremiah chapter 4 from verse 13, but it's good that we did chapter 2 as well. It was also useful. So this is a crescendo. It says, "Behold, the enemy comes up like clouds, his chariots like the whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Oh, judgment is coming to us, for we are ruined. O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked and immoral thoughts lodge within you? For a voice declares from Dan, far in the north, and proclaims evil from Mount Ephraim. Warn the neighboring nations now that our enemy is coming. Announce to Jerusalem, besiegers are coming from a far country. And they lift their voices and shout against the cities of Judah. Like watchmen of a field, they are against her on all sides, because she has rebelled against me, says the Lord. Your ways and your deeds have brought these things on you. This is your tragedy and doom. How bitter, how it has touched your heart." And then it goes on to say, in verse 19, my soul, I writhe in anguish and pain o'er the walls of my heart. My heart is pounding and throbbing within me. I cannot be silent, for you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. News of one terrible disaster comes close after another, for the whole land is devastated. Suddenly my tents are spoiled and destroyed, my tent curtains ruined in a moment. How long, O Lord, must I see the banner marking the way for flight, and hear the sound of the trumpet urging the people to run for safety? For my people are stupid and foolish, says the Lord to Jeremiah. They do not know me. They are foolish children and have no understanding. They are shrewd enough to do evil, but they do not know how to do good. I looked at the earth in my vision, and behold, it was as at the time of creation, formless and void. And to the heavens, and they had no light, I looked at the mountains, and behold, they were trembling, and all the hills moved back and forth. I looked, and behold, there was no man, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and behold, the fertile land was a wilderness, and all its cities were pulled down before the presence of the Lord, before his fierce anger. Therefore says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not cause total destruction. For this reason the earth shall mourn, and the heavens above shall become dark, because I have spoken, I have decided, and I will not change my mind, relent, nor will I turn back from it. Every city runs away at the sound of the horsemen and the archers. They go in the thickets and climb among the rocks. Every city is deserted, and no man lives in them. No man lives in them. And you, O desolate one, what will you do? Though you clothe yourself in scarlet, though you adorn yourself with ornaments of gold, though you enlarge your eyes with paint, you make yourself beautiful in vain. Your lovers, allies, despise you. They seek your life. For I heard a cry like a woman in labor, the anguish as of one giving birth to her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion, Jerusalem, who gasps for breath, who stretches out her hand, saying, woe is me, my judgment comes. I faint in fear before the murderers. Yeah, so that crowns it. That crowns it. You could read the whole of chapter 4. And that is the word of the Lord. Bye-bye for now.